Let's start the meeting. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. We are grateful for this evening. We ask that you grant us grace sufficient for this midweek service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So I think I've been around midweek for 2 weeks now. Maybe I should run away again. I usually run away every now and then, so maybe I should run away again. because either way, you are not bothered when I'm not there, so I may run away. We'll see. So but I want to talk about stirring the hunger for revival. It's good to have you back, Johan, by the way. I want to talk about stirring a hunger for revival. But before that, I want to give a charge to each and every one of us, okay? I want to give a charge to each and every one of us. And the charge I want to give to each and every one of us is, I want you to take time to pray for spiritual leaders, myself inclusive. And, you know, also if you are in another church, pray for your leaders there as well. And ultimately pray for leaders, you know, in the body of Christ. Pray for spiritual leaders because they are prone to attack. And so, I want you to take time to pray for them. Take time to pray for them. Take time to pray for me. Take time to pray for every other leader out there. Okay. Now, usually when you say something like this, people begin to, speculate. Is something wrong with you, Pastor? Because I know after this, someone will send me a message. Pastor, are you okay? I'm fine. Okay, I'm very fine. Just take time to pray. Oh, Pastor, mle lufyanyenshi. No, I'm not lufyanyaling anything. You know, just take time to pray for spiritual leaders. Or someone will ask, Pastor, what is it that you have seen that pastors are making mistakes on? Yeah, just take time to pray for spiritual leaders because they are prone to spiritual attack. And I covet your prayers even as we head to the National Marathon to take time to pray for me. I know you do, but, you know, every now and then when the Lord inspires you to pray intensely, pray for me, cover me in prayer, and cover other spiritual leaders as well in prayer. Cover everybody that holds that microphone, for the National Marathon, those that, you know, minister, those that play the drums, you know, people like Thelma, those that sing. So just cover in prayer. Now, I read something before I go into the lesson. I hope I don't, you know, shoot myself in the leg and find myself rambling over something else. I was reading something which should solidify why you should pray. Now, of course, you have a responsibility to pray, but let me just tell you how serious Satanists also are. And this is not, that type of a message. I don't think that's why we are here. So I was reading a book called Prayer Shield, which I really love. So page 67 of that book. Okay, so Bill McRae, I'm now reading, okay? So there was an award ceremony for witches, okay? I'll get to the award ceremony for Satanists that they were having. There was an award ceremony. You know, even Satanists have, you know, where, you know, you in church people have those, you know, every year you award people, you know, faithful partners, you know, most active, whatever, most committed, whatever. The author is Peter C. Wagner. Okay. The book is called Prayer Shield and the author is Peter C. Wagner. You can still listen to the recording if you miss out something. So now there was an award ceremony for witches. Okay. They were also awarding, you know, people that were faithful for Satanists. So now, in the book, I'll jump in from in between, but I'll run you through in case there are gaps and context that is missing. So Bill McRae is the chancellor of two prestigious evangelical institutions near Toronto, Canada, Ontario Bible College and Ontario Theological Seminary. Previously, he pastored the North Park Community Chapel in London, Ontario. He reports that while he was a pastor, it was brought to our attention that a group of Satanists who worshipped in a church situation within London had committed themselves to pray to Satan for the elimination of a number of evangelical leaders in the city through marriage and family breakdown. During that summer, the cell group in London was honored at a particular Satanist convention for being so effective and successful during that year. Why did they win the award? McRae says, in the course of the previous year, they had succeeded through their prayers to Satan to eliminate five of our very significant leading men from pastoral ministries through immorality and marriage breakdown. So now what is happening here, in case you missed why I was laughing. So there is a group, because I was, the author of the book uses words like praying to. So you may feel they were praying to God. No, there's a group of Satanists that were praying to Satan. Okay, they were praying to Satan for the downfall of certain spiritual leaders. Okay, so now at this award ceremony, they were awarding a cell group. So they were awarding a cell group for bringing down five evangelical leaders. So badi bapela ma award cell group. Imagine you are part of that satanic group. Olo cell group yenu ya wina. You know that's how committed that cell group was. So Bill McRae says that he was very deeply involved with one of the pastors who was going through this nightmarish and disgraceful fall from the Christian ministry. He says, we were very aware of the desperate need for prayer, but I must frankly confess that none of us was quite as alert to the reality of the satanic warfare we were fighting until it was all over. McRae also tells a group of his friends who went into a restaurant in London and observed a prayer meeting in a corner booth. Okay, they introduced themselves as fellow Christians, but their prayers quickly identified themselves as members of the Church of Satan in London. So these were not making prayers unto God. They admitted and bragged that they had been praying that night specifically to Satan for the destruction of a certain pastor. McRae says they mentioned his name and he is a very good friend of mine. Okay, in one of the leading churches in London. It once again brought home to me the dark reality of the satanic battle in which we are engaged. So they mentioned to him that, we spent that night, we were tarrying that night to Satan for the downfall of that individual. And at a satanic convention, someone was awarded, okay? Someone was awarded, a cell group was awarded, a satanic cell group was awarded for having brought down five evangelical leaders through marital breakdown and family failures. It shows you just how active that realm is. Of course, we don't pray in response to darkness, but it tells you how busy they are. And because of how busy they are, you know, we must make sure that we keep our spiritual leaders in prayer. Amen. Okay, let's go into the lesson. I want to talk about stirring a hunger for revival. And let's start with Genesis 28:16-17. Genesis chapter number 28, verses 16 to 17. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Okay, so Jacob gets to Bethel. And when he gets to Bethel, this was a place that was a sanctified place, a place that had an altar erected by a man called Abraham. And so Jacob gets to Bethel. And when Jacob gets to Bethel, there he goes into sleep. And when he goes into sleep, you know, the context around it, the story around it is that he has this encounter, angels ascending and descending. And then when he wakes up, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. That really struck my heart when I read it some years ago, and I was so moved by how that a man was in a place that was an open heaven. A man was in a place where God was moving, angels ascending and descending. Okay, there was this motion of angels ascending into heaven. There was an open heaven. Okay, and then when he wakes up, he says the Lord was in this place, or the Lord is in this place rather. The Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Okay, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, the reason why I read that scripture in my introduction is that I feel that we are in a revival season. We are in a time in which God is stirring the waters of revival. You know, water levels of expectation are being lifted. We are seeing many people pray. We are seeing many people fast. We are seeing many people go after God. We are seeing many people do so many things for God. We are seeing people pray like they've never prayed before. Some days ago, prayers on Telegram started and they've been running. I don't even know how many days now that we have been praying concurrently, you know, but back to back, people have been praying at a stretch nonstop, you know. There is a move of God in our nation. You know, I saw many people come for a preparatory marathon. Something shocked me. You know, people came to prepare for a marathon, to pray into a marathon, and many people came to labor for that particular marathon. I was so moved by that, to see that, you know, just over this Sunday, God moved in a very unique way. I don't even know how to describe it. This Sunday at church, God was moving very uniquely. There was no sermon. It wasn't that it's what we wanted. It's what God actually wanted. You know, I tried everything I could try to try and tone down the atmosphere, to try and calm the atmosphere. Yeah, like Estelle is saying, it's complicated. I tried everything, you know, I could do to calm down the atmosphere. You know, at a point I thought maybe it's the keyboard. So I told the guys, turn off the keyboard. They turned off the keyboard. And when they turned off the keyboard, the atmosphere got very tense. Then I got so desperate to preaching my message. Then I said, okay, what do I do now? Okay. So I now shouted, give me J, give me O, give me Y. What do we have? Joy. The moment we said joy, people drank the joy also. You know, there was just a saturation. Then I was standing in the front and, you know, our ED gives me an idea. You know, Diana says, just begin to say hallelujah. Usually when people want to tone down the atmosphere, they shout hallelujah. So I shouted hallelujah. Shanice drank the hallelujah and some other people at the back. And, you know, so all these things were just happening. I was I didn't know what to do. At one point, I even sang Zindonga Zonse. I was just trying to tone down the atmosphere, you know. I was trying, it's like, you know, mazoi kwatina iloa sana, and you're trying to dilute the drink. So I was adding water, trying to add water. So I sang Zindonga Zonse Ziwela Ziwela Le. And people were getting slain in Zindonga Zonse Ziwela. So there's just a saturation, but then let me try and drive to my point. So there is just a saturation in the atmosphere, and God is doing something. God is, you know, stirring something, stirring the winds of revival, and God is doing something. But I've also noticed that, you know, whilst we are drinking and enjoying God and loving on God and, you know, spending our lives on God, you know, I have noticed that there are also people that seemingly, you know, in the midst of a revival, in the midst of all these things that things that are happening, it seems that there's also another group of people that are not having it. They can't recognize that we are in a move. They can't recognize that something is shifting. Some of you are staying with people and you can sense, wow, we are in a revival. You are saying we are in a revival. Revival has come. Revival is now. Have you seen how some of the roommates you have, if you are a student, they are not even aware that there is a revival? You are saying revival has come. This is what Zambia has been waiting for, you know. Meanwhile, there are people that are not really, really aware that something is happening in the region. Something is happening in the land. The heavens have opened. You know, you can even be in Lusaka. You know, there are some people like Ovoye, you know, who is from Namibia. There are people like Ovoe that are longing to come to Zambia, you know, longing to come to Zambia, preparing, doing everything they could do to just make sure that, you know, this August, they are in this national marathon. This is someone all the way from all the way from Namibia, planning, how do I get to this place? You know, people that are saying, I wish I could just be in that marathon, even for 2 hours, even for 3 hours, even I just want to be in that atmosphere of believers. You know, someone will send bundles all the way from Namibia, say, I know you're not streaming, but at least try and connect me. Even if kuleli lafe audio, even if I'm not seeing anything, just turn on the audio. I should connect to whatever it is that is happening. And you now find that there are people like that, and then there are also people that are in Zambia. If anything, some of them are just 20 minutes away from Pastor Cham's house. Some are 20 minutes away from Woodland Stadium. Yet, they'll just take it as, It's because they are in a place where revival is happening, but yet they are not aware of the fact that revival is actually happening. Now, part of my responsibility as a pastor is to make sure we carry everyone along. And there may be people in here, for example, you are in this particular place, and maybe, for example, you're in this particular place, and you know, you feel like, yeah, I know things are happening, things are going on, but I'm just not hungry for the revival. I'm just not excited about what everybody is excited for. This is why we are here. I feel we ought to be brothers keepers, you know, because some people can be in a place where God is moving, yet they miss it. I've seen it several times, even in meetings. You know, God can be doing something in the life of one individual, and there's a life-transforming encounter, you know, happening to the person sitting next to you. Meanwhile, the person next to that person having a life-transforming encounter is thinking about the food they left in the fridge. This one is having a destiny-changing moment. God is speaking to them about the revival. He's unlocking scrolls. The next person is thinking about the food in the fridge. I can assure you, many people miss revival. You know, the fact that God has come into a city does not mean everyone has discerned the coming of God in a city. Sometimes it takes certain experiences to have people awaken to the fact that God has come in the city. Jacob gets at Bethel, and their angels ascending and descending. And when he wakes up from his dream, I don't know how long he had spent at Bethel. I don't know how much time he was there. But he said, God was in this place and I knew it not. It had to take God to show him and say, I'm here. So this is what we are actually going to do. We are going to carry everyone along and stir the hunger for revival. Because some of you are wondering, what's the fuss? You know, why are people so hungry? Why are people, you know, burning like this? Why are people praying like this? Why are people fasting like this? What's the purpose of people fasting like this? What's the purpose of people, you know, doing all these prayer meetings? I've never seen, you know, someone told me, I've never seen any group of people prepare for a meeting as much as you people are preparing. I've never seen it. I've never seen it before. I've seen big conferences, you know, I've never seen people preparing like this. And you may be in that place, and you know, you are saying, what's the fuss? What's the excitement? You know, what's the excitement? You know, and even, you know, people like Ovoe, maybe like she's saying, she may have people that she's talking to in Lusaka, and she's saying, are you aware? Me, I want to come. And they're saying, no, I don't know. I'll see if I can show up. This is someone from Namibia talking to someone in Lusaka, saying there's something great happening in your city. Something is happening in your nation. You know, I'm planning on coming. And the person they are talking to is saying, I don't know. I'll see if I'm free. Where do you stay? I'm in Chalala. Chalala and Woodlands are just nearby. You know, so now the purpose of this teaching is to ensure that all of us carry our brothers and sisters along. We become more like signposts that show people that God is in the city, so that many people after today, they'll wake up and say, God is in this city and I knew it not. God has come to the nation and I knew it not. So that is why we are bringing this lesson, so that we can be our brothers keepers and carry them along. So some of the things that stir a hunger for revival in the lives of the people are the things I'll mention now, and then I'll see where I'll end. Okay, the first thing is that the reward. So now, it's very, very important to understand that many people who are hungry for what they are hungry for have got their gaze on the reward that God wants to actually bring. Okay, now let's read Matthew 13, 45 to 46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. So this merchant, is seeking beautiful pearls. And then he finds this one great pearl of great price. Then when he finds this one great pearl, he goes out, sells all the pearls that he had to purchase this one particular one. This is what I've been feeling about revival. I've been feeling that revival is one of those things where when you find it, you are willing to give up all to have this one great thing, because you have discovered something of great reward. You have discovered something of great price that you are willing to actually give up everything. You are wondering, why is it that people are praying the way they are praying? They have found something of great reward. They have found something that is greater than everything else, something greater than money. Sometimes you may even feel that people are manipulated. Why is it that people are giving this amount of money to marathons? Why is it that people are giving this amount of money to the kingdom? Why is it that people are praying like this? Why is it that people are fasting like this? Their gaze and their focus is on the reward. This merchant who trades doesn't really keep things. You know, merchants are usually trading. But when this merchant found one great pearl, he went home, picked up everything that he had and decided to trade everything he had for one great pearl. You know, this is what I've been feeling about revival, that many people are giving up so many things, giving up, you know, many times some of you at 21, 22, those were the hours you were spending on phone, chatting, gossiping, you know, interacting. But some of you have given up meaningful conversations. Some of them are not bad. Some are meaningful conversations. Some have given up meaningful conversations. That's what rings in their heads these days is karavava daga daga daga. Even when you are sleeping, you are hearing people speak in tongues. You hear people like Ovoe, kara rapapa bimpi, rapapa bimpi, rapapa bimpi. You are just hearing people pray. Hearing people pray, hearing people tarry, because you've consumed yourself so much. Someone's microphone is on, please turn it off. Grace. So you are in that particular place where, you know, you are just hearing. Someone's microphone is on. Okay, great. So you are in that particular place where you have given up so much. Okay, you have given up so much to find yourself in a place of revival, to find yourself in a place where God is actually burning. So many fix their gaze on the price and not on the reward. The reason why many people don't have a hunger for revival is that your focus is the price. Have you noticed that every time you focus on the price, you are not willing to give all for revival? Because usually the price is hefty, but the reward is far greater. If you focus on the reward, you will notice you'll be willing to give everything. Anyone that is not willing to sacrifice, people are saying in Evaminum, have you heard people tell you, the way you guys are fasting, me, I can't fast. Yeah, someone told me this personally. Now, this is, I'm talking about someone that is very spiritual. Okay, I'm not talking about someone that is not spiritual. Someone who's very spiritual told me, Pastor, I am a Christian, I am a leader, and I am an elder. But the way I'm hearing that people are fasting, me, I can never. It's just too much. I can never fast like that. You know why? And I asked them, why is it that it's painful? I can't do that. Why should I punish myself and go without food for 3 days? Go without food for 4 days, you know? And this is someone telling me this. This is someone that is very spiritual. Okay, I can never. They said, I can never. I can't punish myself. It's too painful. Just the way 6 to 6 is painful. How much more going without food for 21 days? Going without food for 3 days? I can never do it, Pastor. And, you know, we laughed about it, of course. But I realized that the reason why they said that they can never do such a thing is that their focus is on the price, not the reward. Every time you focus on the price and not the reward, you will discover you will miss it. That is why every time God encounters people, you discover when God encounters people, he does not show them the price.
He shows them the reward. He will just show you an image of you in the palace. He will just show you an image, you know, of things happening. He will show you an image of a generation burning. He will just show you things happening, you know, things glorious. He will not show you. You know, when he started speaking to me and telling me there'll be a time when a generation will be burning. There'll be a time when you begin to mobilize young people. You begin to mobilize people to pray. You begin to mobilize the young and the old. They'll be praying. They'll be fasting. They'll be going after God. Me, I was excited. I didn't know that what that meant was that we would fast more. What that meant is that we would pray long prayers to awaken that sleeping generation. I didn't know that to sound the alarm that awakens men would require that I am on the altar praying for 12 hours, praying for 10 hours, praying for 15 hours, praying for 20 hours, praying for 24 hours, praying for 36 hours. I didn't know that it would require that price. But every time when I meet God in my secret place, He's not showing me the pain that comes from the marathon. He's not showing me the sleep that will come upon my face in a marathon. He's not showing me how my body and my legs will hurt in the marathon. He's just showing me a generation burning. He's just showing me stadiums and people singing unto the Lord, people worshiping and stadiums erupting. That's all He's showing me. Why? Because God knows that if He shows you the price, many of you will say, you know what, God, forget it. I don't want nations. It's like Jikebo was joking the other time when we were fasting. She said, I can't remember what she mentioned, but she said, is chawama okay? Like, I don't want nations. Is chawama fine? Like, can I just get chawama? I'm tired of that. If God shows you the price, I'm telling you, many will say, Lord, forget it. If God shows you that some brothers may sell you, you know, as a slave, if God shows you that you may be accused in Potiphar's house, many of you will say, I do not want the palace. But He will consume you with images, okay? He will consume you with images of what is to come. Many of you, for you to actually get into that place where you start burning for revival, you may need to consume yourself with the reward and not the price. Because the price is painful. One brother came to me in a marathon and he said, Pastor, I have to go. I don't know if he's even here. Pastor, I have to go. I said, where do you have to go? He said, my legs can't carry me anymore. You know, I wanted to laugh, but then I felt his pain. He said, my legs can't carry me anymore. I've tried everything. My legs can't carry me anymore. You know, okay, so you have to saturate yourself with images of the reward. The investment will never be greater than the reward. Okay, you must understand that the investment will never be greater than the reward. The investment is great, quite all right, but the investment in God's calendar will never be greater than the reward. There's no time that you will pray and God will give you equivalent to what you pray for. He will give you more than you prayed into. He will give you more than you actually asked for. So while we are just praying, Lord, give us this, give us this, God will give us more. God will bring more. God will, you know, such. Now, because the comment section is. But how will his legs carry him home? That's a commando thought. You know, those commandos are the only ones that think like that. I should have responded like that. Anyway, so you must be saturated with images of the reward. When you are saturated with images of the reward, I can assure you, you will give yourself to this revival. You will be hungry for revival. When you start to burn for revival, every time you are thinking of a fast, don't think of, you know, that's the reason why people are breaking. You are thinking of the price too much. You are thinking of the price too much, not the reward. Ask the people who paid the price. They will tell you that they started talking about the price after paying it, you know, after paying it, but during the time they were paying the price, they never saturated their self with the price. They saturated themselves with the reward. They ask the Catherine Kumans. They saturated themselves, you know, when you get to heaven, they saturated themselves with images of what would happen if they yielded themselves. When now they paid the price, that's when they started talking about the price. While you are fasting, saturate yourself with images of the reward. What is God going to do? That will be your fuel in revival. That will be your hunger in revival. That is what will keep you alive. Some of you, the reason why you keep fasting in your course. Yes, fasting in your course. The difference between you and the person that is giving themselves to fast, I can assure you, I love food as much as you love it. I can assure you the people that are fasting love food as much as you love food. I can assure you they are thinking about food as much as you think about food. They feel the pain you feel. The people that come for these marathons, they feel tiredness. They feel the, you know, the sleep come over them. They feel everything you feel. But the reason why they are staying, why they are tarrying, why they are given to this thing is that they are saturated with images of the reward. They are saturated with images of the reward, okay? There are images that inspire sacrifice. In case you didn't know, there are images that inspire sacrifices. There are visions that inspire sacrifices. You know, you will find someone is saying, Pastor, I'm tired. You tell them, go. They are saying, I can't go. They are tarrying. Someone is sleepy. They sleep a bit, they wake up. You know, and sometimes people just wake up. You, when they wake up tanging. You know, someone was dozing. The moment they just wake up, you get close to them. Why aren't you going? There are images that are inspiring a sacrifice. Images that are inspiring them to keep going. So the reason why some of our friends, some of our brothers are not necessarily given to what is going on is that they have not focused on the reward. You may be here and you are saying, Pastor, I've been hearing about this revival. I'm just hearing people fast. And for me, I just bypass it and I don't care. It doesn't seem to bother me. I'm telling you, the reason why you are like that is that you have not saturated yourself with images of the reward. Saturate yourself with images of the reward. I can assure you, once you saturate yourself with images of the reward, you will give yourself to this revival. You will give yourself to fasting. You will give yourself to prayer, and you may never recover. So the reward always makes the price look far away insignificant. Every time the reward comes, I can assure you, when God rewards you, every time the reward comes, you will feel like the price was insignificant. You will even say to yourself, we should have prayed more. We should have fasted more. Because when God rewards, he rewards far greater. You will see things happen in your nation and you say, wow, wow, this is great. So the reward makes the price look far away insignificant. And you must also understand that it's more costly not to pay the price. It is more costly not to pay the price because there is a region that will be in darkness. So many of the people that are given to this thing, it's the reward. Ask many of the people, why are you tarrying like this? They will tell you the reason why they are tarrying like this, there is something they are seeing that you're not seeing. There is something that they have seen, okay, in a generation that they've not seen in a long time. There's something God has been showing them in prayer. There's something that people have been seeing every time they contemplate upon the images God is showing them in prayer. That's why people are fasting like that. As you know, I can assure you, 90% of us, okay, including myself, you may discover we are not prayer giants. But what is making us prayer giants is that there's a reward, and that reward is inspiring sacrifice. I can assure you, once God takes away that image, once you stop gazing on the reward, you may discover you're not so strong in prayer. You may discover you do 1 hour in a marathon and you knock off. Okay? So that is why we need to ensure that we begin to stare those images. We begin to stare those as we share. Many of you have been privileged maybe to listen to Pastor Cham. And so every time you hear Pastor Cham, he's talking about revival. He's talking about a nation burning. He's talking about previous revivals. He's talking about current revivals. He's talking about what is coming. And because of that, you are so focused on the images of what God is about to do that you feel like paying the price, you know, is not something that is too great. You feel like if God is going to do that in our nation, I can fast 21 days. I can sacrifice 21 days. So you have been hearing maybe pastor talk about these things. You have been hearing pastor talk about these things, and it's stirring a hunger in you. Your responsibility is to become a catalyst to this. Share the hunger, spread that hunger, become a virus of hunger for Jesus, okay? Become a virus for a hunger for Jesus. Everywhere you go, you must leave people hungry. You are the salt of the earth, okay? So when you go to a place, saturate them with the images of the reward, that when they decide to fast, When they decide to fast, they forget the price. They are so consumed with what they want to see God do in their generation. You must be sick with hunger for Jesus. So sick that every person you encounter is gone. Every person you touch is gone. You must be more contagious than coronavirus. When people come near you, there is a hunger for Jesus. There is a thirst for the things of the Lord because you spread stories of revival. You spread... When you hear me speak, one of the things that will start to brew in your heart is hunger. Because I want to spread that hunger. There's no place I'll go. When I go to a place, I'll start to talk about the things happening in marathons. You know, we saw a young boy tarry for 36 hours nonstop. You know, in the last marathon, we saw young boys praying for 24 hours, running up and down. The Spirit of the Lord empowering young people. And people are there listening. Tell us more. Tell us more. And I remember when I was in university, there's a Muslim guy, and I can assure you, many of these people that are not even Christian, they are hungry for Jesus. They are hungry for the real thing. Don't be fooled by, you know, all these things. Don't be fooled by all those gymnastics of them fulamaling and all those. They are hungry for Jesus, these guys. There's a Muslim guy that I went to school with. So I'd come to Lusaka because I was at the Copperbelt University. So every time I'd come to Lusaka for ministry, I'd come to Lusaka to do ministry, God would move powerfully. And then I'd go back to school and discover that, my assignments were not done. Okay, my assignments were not done. So I talked to this guy, he was a Muslim guy. He would do my assignments The payment, okay, of him doing my assignments, what I would pay him is stories. He said, all I want you to do is when you come back from your meetings, just tell me what God is doing. And oh my, and I noticed there was a hunger in his spirit to hear more about Jesus. He would tell me, while I'm in Lusaka, I would say, he would call me Chilombo. Chilombo, the lecturer gave us this assignment, you know, we have an assignment in electronics, we have an assignment in ABCD. I'm like, I can't manage to do it. He says, I'll do it. Just come and tell me what was happening in the meetings. And then when I come back, my God. So, you know, when I walked into the meeting, then I stepped to the front. I held the microphone. And then the presence of the Lord came over me. I felt an anointing. And then he's asking me, wait. So what does it feel like when an anointing comes? Oh, an anointing. You would love the anointing. The way the anointing feels, you know, you feel like every part of you wants to blow off. And in that moment, everything you say can happen. So now when I held the mic, I said, in the name of Jesus. And there was chaos. And said, what chaos? I said, people were flying over. Along the way, not my video. Let me show you first. Have you seen? And he would listen to the stories whilst working on my assignment. This, I discovered that there is a hunger. That is why you discover, even in Hollywood, there is a hunger. Even Hollywood is showing us that there is a hunger for Jesus. There is a hunger for the supernatural. That is why most of the movies that sell, most of the movies that make the most money are movies that depict characters with a supernatural ability. Have you noticed that movies that depict, you know, characters with a supernatural ability sell more? You will find that people want to watch Avengers because these guys have got these superhero powers, you know, Spider-Man, this thing bites this person and he gets these superpowers. People are hungry for the supernatural. That is why we must share the genuine supernatural. There is a hunger. There is a hunger for the supernatural. So we must share. So everywhere you go, ulipa bus, so you are seated on a bus. Once conversation starts, begin to share stories. Yeah, you know, I go to the... You must find opportunity. Where actually under party business, then you say, oh, speaking of which, this person is talking about, you know, so Zanaco is doing so and so and so, there's this business. And then you say, speaking of which, you know, that's a good point you have raised. You know, I want to connect it. It's more like the marathons we are. you know, when you want to bring in the stories of God, you will find every opportunity. Ale papa, speaking of which, yafuma kwisa. I was talking about the economy. Then you say, speaking of which, there are prayers that we are praying that, you know, the nation of, it's a national marathon. So then you now begin to share stories. You begin to share stories. So you must share this burden. And when you share this burden, I can assure you, your sister is not immune. Even you, you thought you would not fast like this. Even you, you thought you would not pray like this. So your brother is not immune. Your sister is not immune. Your cousin is not immune. Your uncle is not immune. Your parents are not immune. Your aunties are not immune. They are just not hungry enough. That is why they are saying, in a fasting, I mean, I'm a fasting. You know, sometimes parents will even say this, wait until our hunger hits them. Begin to share the stories of God. The hunger that will saturate them. They'll be so focused on the move. They'll be so focused on the reward. They'll be like this merchant in Matthew 13. Who was seeking beautiful pearls. Then he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had just to have it. So this is where you sell all that you had. You forget the food. You forget everything to have this one great pearl. So we must be our brother's keepers and make sure we have them focus on the right thing. Have them focus on the reward. Don't tell them just of how painful it is, in as much as that's important. Start telling them of the revival that is coming, the things that will begin to happen, the generation that will burn, the cities that will be served, how many people will come. Begin to talk about those things. You will notice them burning. You will notice them burning. Even when Jesus preached, remember when Jesus comes into a place, when he's talking to the multitudes, Jesus does not necessarily talk about the ways of the kingdom and the like. You will find that when he's talking to the multitudes, he's just telling them about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's telling them what the kingdom will do. In this kingdom, there is healing. The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to do this, to do this. Then lidia waingira mukindom. Then you are now told, oh, mukindom no waingira. There is sacrifice, there is this. But when he's preaching, he's just telling them the beauties of the kingdom. The beauties of the kingdom. Then people like Nicodemus, after hearing all these beauties of the kingdom, they say, Master, how do we enter this kingdom? How do we enter? You must be born again. Then when they get born again, you now say, okay, great. Now that you are born again, mukindo mwari wako sacrifice, mwari wako ka fasting, mwari wako ka sacrificial giving, you know, mwari wako tututututututika in this kingdom. You know, that's why on the crusade ground, you just hear people say, this Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, you know, he saves. And you are hearing people, and people give their lives to the Lord. Then in discipleship, we now teach them the life of sacrifice, the life of consecration, the life of so and so. So don't share, there are some people who you should not share consecration with yet. Just start telling them what will happen. The hunger will be too much. Then they will say, fasting, what wing shamo. But the stories you shared of revival, I'm willing to give it all. Okay, let's move. Let's do the second one. Then we'll end. The second one. The second thing that stirs a hunger for revival is called encounters. Encounters. Hebrews 11:24. It says, by faith, when Moses had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. As of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward, which backs up the first point we were reading. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invincible. Now, we are being told that the other versions would put it like this. Moses forsook the riches of Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the kings, because he saw him who is unseen. Moses forsook the riches of Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the kings. Why? He saw him who is unseen. He forsook all the pleasures, okay, of Egypt. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated, you know, along with the people of God. Why did Moses forsake all these things? Why? Simple. He had seen the one who is unseen. Okay, he saw him who is unseen. He refused royalty,
Why? Because he saw him who is unseen. Do you know why people are giving themselves to these prayers the way they are giving themselves? There's something they have encountered. That is why some of the people you must just get them into a marathon. Let them have an encounter. Some people you must pray, Lord, give my mother an encounter. Give my auntie an encounter. Give my uncle an encounter. Give my father a genuine encounter with you. There is something about an encounter. Encounters strengthen conviction. Every time you have an encounter, it will strengthen your conviction. That is why today people are, some of you are reading stories. You are in a fast. You are reading a story. Story that is saying man dies in a 3-day fast. Meanwhile, you are on day 7 of the fast, and that's when you are even saying, let's fast more. There is an encounter that has strengthened your resolve. Okay, there is an encounter that has strengthened your resolve, an encounter that is making you process the way you are actually processing. And that is why we must pray that God grants people encounters. We must pray that our brothers and sisters who are not burning for revival, who don't have a hunger for revival the way we have a hunger for it, let's pray. When we're praying for them by night, Lord, give my auntie an encounter. Let them have an encounter with your love. Let them have an encounter. Let them have an encounter with your mercy. Let them have an encounter with your power. Let them have an encounter with your glory. Let them have an encounter. Let there be something supernatural that will happen to them. I'm praying that, Lord, you'd release many of you. The reason why you are in these marathon groups, you are praying like this, it's an encounter. Some people had been struggling with pornography. Some people had been struggling with, you know, masturbation for years. They have been struggling until they came to a prayer marathon. They started doing these long prayers, and after praying that long, that addiction broke off. Boom. That bondage broke off. Boom. And it was cut off from them. Is this a person you are going to instruct and say, prayer is not good, don't pray long, it's a waste of time to pray? You can't advise this type of person. When they were not praying, they were bound by an addiction. Now that they are praying, okay, they are no longer bound by this addiction. They've had a genuine encounter with God. Are you telling me this is the type of person that you just advise and say, don't pray, and then they stop? You know, there's a genuine encounter that people have had. There's a genuine encounter. There were some people that, you know, were struggling with prayer. They had been trying to boost their prayer life. Nothing worked. Nothing happened. They came to a prayer marathon. Something happened within their spirits. Their prayer levels went up. They now sleep on Telegram. They live on Telegram. Some are even changing their names to Telefire, you know, Telemama, whatever. People are just changing their names to different, you know, Telegram names, you know. They live on Telegram. They wake up, they start tonguing. The moment they wake up, the only button they know now on their phone is mute and mute. Mute and mute. Mute, and that's the only button they know. Mute and mute. Mute and mute. Mute and mute. Mute. They are just there. They are just staring. They have become, you know, telemamas. Some ladies, you don't even see their WhatsApp status anymore. They are just telemamas, just staring on Telegram, staring on Telegram, and, you know, just praying there. And they are stuck there, okay? You know, Lydia is saying, I was addicted to alcohol. So you see some of these genuine encounters. Thank you so much for sharing and for your vulnerability. You say, I was addicted to alcohol. However it broke off, whether it's in the marathon, whether it's through prayer, I don't know. But, you know, there's a genuine encounter that she had. And through that genuine encounter, okay, something happened to her. And she is willing to give everything for revival. That is why there's a hunger, because there's an encounter. Check everyone that was willing to give everything to the move of God. Tell it, daddy. Check everyone that was willing to give everything for God. There was an encounter. Paul in Acts chapter number 9, on his way to Damascus, okay? Paul on his way to Damascus has an encounter with Jesus. This is a guy that got legal rights, permission to persecute the Christians, okay, has an encounter. After having an encounter, the same Paul is willing to give everything for this gospel. What happened? An encounter. Peter, what happened to Peter? Peter just a few days ago, Peter denied Jesus, okay, denied Jesus, said, I don't know this man. After Acts 2,
When the Holy Ghost comes, Peter has an encounter. The same Peter is willing to give everything to God. Why? An encounter. There is an encounter that you will have. You will be shocked at the encounter. You know, you will be shocked. And when you have that encounter, it will strengthen your convictions. Some of these people, we must pray, Lord, give them an encounter. Grant them an encounter. Let there be an encounter. You know, many of you have probably heard, you know, maybe my mom shared this. You know, she shared this several times. You know, she said there was a time, you know, I'm burning. I just want to do ministry. All I want to do is ministry. I want to do ministry. I want to leave the Copper Belt University. I just want to do ministry. Ministry. That's all that's burning. Say, no, I'm tired of this. Engineering is not my thing. I don't want to be an engineer. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a minister. Oh, no, my mom did not buy it the first time I ever shared it. She did not buy it. She did not want it. She refused it. She refused it. She said, no, 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 no. We can't be investing all this money for you to be an engineer. And then you now say you want to do ministry. She refused it. Then she had an encounter. And in the encounter, something happened. You know, she was in a tug of war with God. Tug of war. God is pulling me on this side. She is also pulling me. And they are having this tug of war with God. She's pulling me on this side and God is pulling her on this side. And she's pulling me and God is pulling me on this side. Until at a point she got tired. And when she got very tired, she said, Lord, I give up. Have him. Use him to your glory. That is how, from that encounter, boom, God drew me to himself. And from that encounter, you will see my mom in meetings, you will see her supporting, you will see her giving, you will see her doing everything, you will literally see her cheerleading. Okay, and you may be wondering, how is it that this is not happening? You know, how is it that Pastor Cham's mom seems to be there kuma marathon valetaringa? What's going on? I can assure you, my mom may have been like your mom who is saying, no, you can't pray, you can't do this, you can't do this. But there is a moment when God encounters someone. Your mother will be the one saying, go and pray, go and fast. You told us you'd be fast because there is an encounter. You know, so we must pray that God grants encounters. When you notice maybe my parents have not encountered God, say, Lord, grant my mother a genuine encounter. Grant my father a genuine encounter. Grant my uncle a genuine encounter. Grant my family a genuine encounter. Grant them encounters. Encounters that will make them burn. Encounters that will strengthen their conviction. I can assure you there will be encounters. My late dad, you know, before, I remember we had a conversation, you know, my late dad before blessing me and releasing me to do ministry and leaving the engineering side of things, leaving all that stuff. And before blessing me, he refused. He said, no, he refused. And then one time he says he went to church. I don't know what sermon was being preached. Bishop was preaching a sermon, you know, Bishop Imakando. He heard a sermon there. He came back. I was in my bedroom, sat on my bedside and said, I heard a sermon by Bishop. And this is what Bishop said, A, B, C, D, blah, 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 blah. So if this is what's on your heart, we'll allow you. I don't know what message he heard. I don't know what the encounter was on his heart. But when he came home, he said, if full-time ministry is what you want to do and you want to leave everything like this, go for it. That's an encounter. It's an encounter. We must pray that there is genuine encounters. When your experience of God is only what you have heard, you risk being religious and doubting the very thing you have read. That is why many people are doubting. They've just heard it. They've not encountered it. Encounters are God's ways of solidifying our convictions. We must all ask for personal encounters with God, with the God of revival, to be hungry for revival. So we must be praying, Lord, grant me a hunger for revival. Grant me an encounter. Grant my parents an encounter. Grant this household an encounter. Let there be an encounter. Let there be an encounter. An encounter for God. There's a gentleman I was in, we shared a room with. You know, he was one of the people that was in our room. You know, he would tease me for praying and fasting. You know, he would tease me. There's a time I remember I fasted almost the entire year, you know, that my roommates had never seen me eat
in my first year of university that my roommates never saw me eat breakfast and lunch. You know, they never even knew what it looks like to see me eat. There's a guy later on, he tormented me. He'd laugh at me, the fastings I was doing. He was laughing at me. He was just all over laughing. He'd tease the Christian faith. He'd show me videos of, you know, Christians. And he'd just be there teasing and all. So one day I convinced him, say, let's go to the meeting together. Okay, so we go to the meeting together and he was going to make fun out of the meeting. And when I now started ministering, I was ministering, it was at Kayalpha, I think I should remember. I was ministering there. The power of God exploded. He could not control his tongues. He was trying to speak in English. Every time he tries to speak in English, so we carried him to the room. So, there's that Pentecostal excitement when you set up someone and they encounter God. I was just there. He used to call me Mr. Cham. Mr. Cham. I said, relax. He had an encounter. From then on, he was carrying my Bible. He started respecting me as a man of God. He was carrying my Bible. He was moving with me. He would sit down, ask me questions. So, Mr. Cham, what is happening to me? What are these things? And I was explaining. So you're telling me if I do this, this will happen. It was an encounter. Yes, I know Kofi knows him. I was about to mention his name, but then we have a recording. It was an encounter. So there must be a genuine encounter, okay? There must be, Kofi almost led me to mentioning the name. There must be a genuine encounter. When you have an encounter with God, when there is an encounter with God, there is something it does that it stirs our hunger, okay? That it stirs our hunger. The people that were fighting you, the people that were fighting you, the people that were against you, they will be the people reminding you, let's wake up to pray. Why? They have an encounter. So that's one of the things that will stir the hunger for revival. So there must be an encounter. Okay? I was reading of a story of a guy called Carl Pierce from Bethel Church. When revival broke out at Bethel, something started happening. Strange things were happening. The move of God, the supernatural. Carl Pierce was one of the men that was just against the revival. He was just against the revival. In one of the meetings, God radically touched him. He was under the power of God, had a genuine encounter. And when he had an encounter, you know, he was on his way to leaving. He had even said that next week or the other week, I'm leaving the church. So he now made a mistake, attended one meeting, had an encounter. And from that particular moment, he said, I can't leave, because he was freaked out by the supernatural. He said, no, I can't leave. And now he's the one in charge of the healing rooms and the like, where many people and thousands of people have actually gotten healed. What changed about his perception? It was an encounter. Don't think that, you know, your father is too difficult. Don't think that your brother is too difficult. Let them just have an encounter. Pray for an encounter. Pray that God would touch them. Pray that God would do something extraordinary. It will stir a hunger for revival. Okay. Let me do the third one, and then I think we'll be done. Okay. It's starting to happen here. Let me read what Ovoye is saying. It's starting to happen here, Pastor. One colleague who I know is a witch used to attend our sessions here and there, but now she recently developed a hunger. She's the one pushing for things now, for meetings and stuff. There's a sense of agency that came on her. Okay. Nendo shinasho. What they want is God. I can assure you, even witches want God. That is why in Acts you read that the moment they saw that the power of God was greater, many of them were willing to convert. So nendo shinashoresa ngachi. Efo shirefo nile sadashishi wefe. They just need. Okay, let's do the third one. The third thing that will stir our hunger for revival. The third thing is a tiredness. A tiredness. You will never be hungry for revival until you are tired of living life without it. The reason why people are not hungry for revival, they are not tired. You know, Bill Johnson said the greatest deterrent to revival is our satisfaction without it. I can't remember if it's Bill or Chris. But, you know, one of them said, no, I'm sure it's Bill. The greatest deterrent to revival is our satisfaction without it. When you are so satisfied without revival, you will not be hungry without it, with revival. You know, there's a church I went to and I was preaching. I preached on revival. I preached on why we must love God. I preached on why we must go after God, why we must pursue revival. And one person said, no, me, I'm okay. I'm okay with the way things are. It's not like I want revival. You know, you. Meanwhile, when you talk to some people, you tell them the reason why we should fast is so that we can stir revival. And someone now tells you, I'm okay. I don't want revival. I'm okay. So I was so shocked. I'd never heard that one before. Okay. So the reason why people are not hungry for revival is that they are too comfortable with how things are. Something in us must say, this is not it. Okay. This is not it. Something in us must say, this is not it. Okay, we can't continue like this. The reason why you see people start to take drastic steps, the reason why you see people start to get hungry for the move of God is because they are tired. And I can assure you, this is one of the things I have seen with many of the people in our generation, many of the people in our time, many of the people that are burning in this revival. I have seen that they are tired. I have many of you, when I hear you on Telegram, even the way you are praying, I can see you are tired of stories. You are tired of stories. You are tired of doing life without revival. You are so tired. You know, you are so tired of doing life without revival. Okay. You are so tired of doing life without revival that even when you pray, so I can hear that these people are tired. They don't want stories anymore. They want it now. When you tell them about long prayer, they don't want it as a story. They want to pray now. When you tell them about fasting, they don't want to just hear, no, this one fasted, Babalola fasted, Benson Idaosa did this, this one did this. There is a tiredness that is saying, we want to see it. We are growing old. We've been hearing stories. When I hear the tongues that are in there, oh, karababa, people want revival now. People want revival now. Okay, I was about to tease Caleb. I like the way Caleb prays, but then Thelma will not allow me. She'll ban me from our group. But I like the way Caleb prays. I don't know if you guys know Caleb. I like the way Caleb prays. I don't know if it's the same Caleb, but I don't know how many Calebs are there, but there's a Caleb I like who prays a certain way. Yeah. Caleb is one of a kind. Ah, and he tarries for long, that guy. He can be on Telegram for a very long time. Oh Lord, send us revival in our nation. Oh Lord, send us. Oh Lord, we ask for the heathens for our inheritance. Such a great guy. Oh, karabashande kalabara divigati hayati asandiviga eatala babia. People are tired. They want revival. People are tired. Emmanuel Kafunda says, "Ewa wako." So you have heard also. Thelma will kill me. I know she said I'm mastering people's prayers, you know, but then when you hear people too long, you kind of have them in your system, you know, you hear them back to back. You hear them back to back. I was about to, you know, emulate another, but I'll spare them. So, okay, great. So there must be a tiredness. Every generation that you saw hungry for revival. No, I already imitated Ovoy. Rapapa pimpi. Rapapa bimpi. Rapapa pimpi. Emulate Thelma. Rababoshka. Rababuska pila baboshka. That's Thelma. She's always in the bees. Okay, let's go. okay. We need to finish. We need to finish. So, I don't want to imitate all of you because I hear the way you operate. And so every, where was I? Every generation that saw revival or was hungry for revival was tired. Every generation that saw revival was very, very tired. There was a tiredness within their spirits. There was a someone's tongue started running in my system. So every generation that was maybe we do a midweek marathon. So every generation that was hungry for revival, okay? Every generation that was hungry for revival, there was a tiredness. You will never be hungry for revival until you reach a place where you are tired and you say, we are tired of what's going on. Okay, I don't know if that's an official instruction from my ED, because me, I follow what my leaders are saying. Okay, so there's a tiredness. There must be a tiredness. Okay, there must be a tiredness in their spirits. Okay, William J. Seymour in the Azusa Street Revival would pray for hours to see revival. Okay, when revival broke out, it was said that when William J. Seymour would speak, he would reduce crowds to tears. There was such conviction on his voice that every time he spoke, he would reduce crowds to tears, okay? Because of his preaching, he'd reduce crowds to tears. But before the Azusa Street Revival, William J. Seymour spent hours, spent nights praying for revival, He'd spend, I was told that William J. Seymour would spend about 8 hours every day crying out for revival, and then revival broke out in Azusa because of a man who was laboring. He was tired of seeing things continue to operate the way they are. So he started praying for revival. Until something broke open that even when he would speak, he'd reduce crowds to tears. It was written one of the books that I have on the Azusa Street Revival. There's an account there that says that, you know, the glory cloud in Azusa was so thick that, you know, children would begin to play hide and seek in the glory. How do you get to a place where the glory is so thick that children begin to play hide and seek in the glory? That is how thick the glory is. Mwambokutea, you know, chidunune. Mwachidununa, all of them, glory. Now, fuayabata ole mona, nafisama in the glory. Okay, that's how thick the glory is. His sacrifice is what led to the restoration of Pentecostalism. Okay, the sacrifice of a man called, you know, William J. Seymour restored Pentecostalism when it was a time in which, you know, the whole Pentecostal move had shut down. A man like William J. Seymour restored it. Speaking in tongues was restored to the body of Christ again. We saw many people speaking in tongues. Now we have over 700 million Pentecostals because of the sacrifice of a man called William J. Seymour. Okay. Now, there's a book I read called Azusa to Zambia, and I know the author, and he shared a story with me, and he said something about, you know, many of the revivals that happened, of the revival that broke out from Azusa and then spread to Zambia. He was telling me of a story of women. There were certain women that were praying. They would pray. They were like evangelists. You know, they got so impacted by what broke out in Azusa that, you know, they started spreading the gospel, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost, praying for people to speak in tongues. That was just, you know, a group of women gathered. Let's go to every city. Let's go to every town. Let's go to every community and baptize people in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes they would be on a car moving to another city, and the fuel in the car would start to hit E. When the fuel is about to hit E, they would begin to pray in tongues. Kwara vavidi gaskatelia. And the fuel gauge would begin to push up. The fuel in the car would begin to go up. Would be, how cool is that, you know? Because of the sacrifice of a man. There must be a tiredness. You're going for evangelism, fuel runs out, you begin to pray in tongues. Kora vende vede vede vada vada vada. Fuel goes up. Ooh. There are many stories. These are Zambians. There are many stories I could actually share with you of people that in Zambia are walking with God in a very, very drastic way. One of the gentlemen you know, who I was told a story of, he was at school, he was at CB with us. Who told me? I can't remember. I remember the person who told me the story, but I'll not share the names.
I was told of a story of a gentleman who never liked cold water, okay? He never liked cold water. I don't know if Kofi heard the story, but the guy never liked cold water, but the people that were there before shared the story with me. The guy never liked cold water, so when he goes to the shower and he finds that the showers have got cold water, he would get his, you know, dormitory keys or his room keys, and then he would say, from prayer, he would say, the fire of God, and then he would throw the key in the bucket where his cold water is, and then the water would begin to heat up. Then he would remove the key and bath the hot water. How cool is that? I can share many stories with you of people that walked with God. Imagine there's cold water at school, and you know, you don't like cold water, so you get your key and you say the fire of God, and then you throw the key in the bucket, and the water begins to warm up, and you remove the key. Okay, they must be a tiredness. I don't know what Joshua is asking. What happened about what? Okay, someone stand on their microphone. Purple, you are purpling the meeting. Okay, so that is how, you know, people are hungry for God, and because now I'm lost in thought. What was I about to say? People get tired. And when people are tired, okay, when people are tired, there is something that begins to well up within their spirits. Excuse me. Something wells up within their spirits. 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 Many people practice the supernatural. I love to search out revival stories. I love to search out things. And I could tell you many, 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 many stories. You know, a guy would lose things. Again, I was told this, it was in school. A guy would lose his things. And when he would lose things, he would say, he'd say, angels of God, find whatever it is that he lost. And then he'd leave the room, go back to his room, and then he'd find whatever he lost. So if he lost his book, he would just say, angels of God, find my book and bring it to the room. When I come back, I should find. He goes out, he comes back, he finds his book on the table, he finds whatever he lost on the table. This is not outside the country, in our nation, at the Copperbelt University. I could share many stories with you of people that did some strange stuff. You know, tell you some strange stories. You know, that is why maybe I should restore. What was that thing I used to do again? I used to call it what? What did we call it again? Those people that used to attend the Emmanuel Kafundas used to attend those things. Revival seminar. Yeah, revival seminar, not the School of Mystery. School of Mystery school as well. But the revival seminar, I need to restore those so that we just talk revival and share stories on revival, because I usually feel like time is limited. But anyway, I was talking about tiredness. I don't even know how I digressed. Let me conclude my thoughts. There must be a certain level of tiredness. Okay, anyway, let me just finish all the points. I'm left with one. So there must be a certain level of tiredness within you that says, I am tired of things as they are. I am tired of things as they are. Something must actually happen. Everyone you see in the Bible got tired. Everyone you see in revival history got tired. The reason why you are not pushing the way you are supposed to push, the reason why you are not hungry the way you are supposed to be, you are not tired. You are okay. You are satisfied with things as they are. You are satisfied with coming to church. You know, you come to church, you know, one worship song, one praise song, we collect an offering, a sermon comes, Pastor Cham preaches a message, we close the Bible, we all knock off, next week again it continues. You know, people have become comfortable like that. Where has the wild spirit of church gone to? Why have we lost the wild DNA of church? Church is what the very foundation, the very inception of the early church, the revival in the early church, began with a wild DNA, and we have lost the wild DNA. Meanwhile, today, if you see something wild in church, people want to question it. Why is it that things like this are happening in church? Why is it that this thing is happening like this? Why is it that we are seeing things like this? Why is it that things... No. Church in itself was wildfire. It started as a wildfire. The church started as a drunken group, mistakenly drunk, okay? To the wine of the world. And Peter rose up, says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This was prophesied, you know, by the prophet Joel. So even the way the church started, it started with people behaving in a drunk way. Okay, you can imagine what it was like in that particular time. That's the first time it's happening. Meanwhile, today, people are shocked at seeing people slain. People are shocked at hearing people groan. People are shocked at seeing people drunk in the spirit. Imagine the people that were in the early church. It's the first time you are seeing it. Even you that are experiencing it, tamulat understand wino sana. Okay, so where is the world spirit of church? There must be a tiredness. You may not be in KCCI, and maybe you say, well, KCCI, things are happening and God is moving there and God is there. But you may be in a youth group somewhere at another church. Something in you must begin to say, where is the world DNA of church? Where is the world DNA of church? And this is not to inspire an arrogance, but it's to inspire you to the place of prayer where you go back and you say, let us pray for our youth group. Let us pray for our congregation. Let us pray so that wildfires spread throughout. Where is the world? They must be. You are too okay with just coming to church and it's become normal to come to church and nothing happened in church. It's become okay to do church and your program reigns. You know, it's become okay to come to church and the Holy Spirit never interrupts you. You don't even remember encountering the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is reserved for one special conference in the year when you invite a special guest. No, it can't be like that. That is not the DNA of church. Church is a wildfire. The wild DNA of church must be restored. But the way in which the world DNA of church is restored is that there must be a generation of people that are tired. When you are tired, there'll be a hunger for revival. When you say, I am too tired, you become like John G. Lake. You become like the great revivalist. You know, it was said that such a great dissatisfaction flooded my soul concerning the state of Christianity that I'd go to bed crying. You know, I love that line so much that I've mastered it. If you've listened to me talk about revival, you know I have mastered that line because it's a line that hit my heart and exploded on the inside. Such a great dissatisfaction flooded my soul concerning the state of Christianity that I went to bed crying. When was the last time you were ever so dissatisfied with the state of Christianity that you went to bed crying, saying, Lord, this is not it. This is not it. There are times I've gone back home from, you know, from Sunday service. And I said in the early days of Kingdom Come, I'd go back home and I'd weep in the bedroom. I said, this is not it. This is not it. I don't know. We can't continue like this. And, you know, many people would say, but Pastor Cham, some people get slain. Some people fall under the power. You are seeing some power in a measure. Why all this hunger? Why all this frustration? Why all this burden? Why all this tiredness? Why all this dissatisfaction? Many pastors would be okay seeing the level of power you have. People get slain, you make declarations, and there's some chaos in the atmosphere. Why this dissatisfaction? No, there are things I've encountered, things I've seen in the Bible. We can't end here. There is a great dissatisfaction within my soul. A tiredness that is stirring a hunger for revival. When you get tired, you will be hungry. And the last point I'm going to share for the interest of time is that you must saturate yourself with stories of revival. You must read stories of revival. When you read enough stories of revival, you will be hungry for revival. Okay, you must read stories of the revival. In the natural, we stop eating to get hungry. In the spirit, we eat to get hungry. That is Bill Johnson as well. You know, he says, in the natural, we stop eating to get hungry. For example, in the natural sense, many of you are fasting. You stopped to eat to get hungry. So when you stop eating in the natural, you get hungry naturally. But in the spirit, when you begin to eat, you get hungry. The reason why you are not hungry is that you are not drinking stories of revival. You are not reading stories of the move. Some of you, have you noticed in the past few months, past few days, maybe you've been listening to some people online, or maybe you've been plugged to some of my podcasts and you've been listening to some messages and you've been hearing some revival stories. Maybe you've been reading some books and it's stirring a hunger within you. The reason why some people are not hungry is because they are not accustomed to revival stories. They are not accustomed to revival fire. They are not accustomed to reading stories on revival. That is why they are not hungry for revival. You can't be hungry for revival. What you are reading is Kim Kardashian. No wonder you want to be a Kardashian. No wonder you want to be like, no wonder you want to have your own TV show. That's the only thing you're hungry for, because you are reading the Kardashians. You are seeing the Kardashians. So what you are feeding on is what you are hungry with. So you now find, you are also trying to find a way, okay, keeping up with so-and-so, keeping up with so-and-so. No, when you read revival, it will consume you. I'm telling you, it will. When you start to read revivals, why? There's some. I wonder sometimes when I look at people, I wonder sometimes what are people reading? What are people actually reading? You know, that they are not hungry for God. Someone asked me, Pastor Cham, it seems that you have been so hungry for God for the longest time. You know, what's the secret to maintain a consistent hunger? It seems every time I meet you, you are hungry. You're always pursuing for more. You know, I thought that by this time you would have toned down and said, no, we have grown now, we have matured. But the same hunger you had as a very young boy, as a very young teenager, is the same hunger you have now and even more. I continually keep eating. I am feeding on revival stories. I am reading past revivals, current revivals. I'm meditating on God, on what God is telling us, on what is coming. I am constantly feeding, constantly reading. You consume yourself with revival stories. I can assure you, once, have you noticed how, for example, I know Bupe is probably here, so she will know what I'm talking about because she's been talking about food for a long time. Have you noticed, for example, if, try and do this, let me give you a social experiment. Okay, let me give you a social experiment. Go online after this meeting. Just start watching Chinese food. Okay, just start watching Chinese food. Go, even if you don't like Chinese food, just start watching people eat Chinese food, watching bloggers eat Chinese food, Chinese food, Chinese food, Chinese food, Chinese food. Just me today, I was watching a guy eat, you know, food from Thailand and Fiji. I was almost posting online saying, where can I find, you know, I don't even know, what do they call it? Is it Taiwan? Chinese? Thai. Where can I find, I was almost posting, where can I find Thai food? Now, Thai food is not something I was hungry for, you know, 2 weeks ago. But I went online and I saw this guy eating Thai food. You know, he was eating sticky rice, you know, things I never knew of, you know, all these strange food. And he was eating all this food. And when he eats them, he says, wow. And I was just watching this guy. I was just like, and I was watching him back to back. Before I knew it, my hunger for Thai food went up. My hunger for Thai food went up. Meanwhile, it wasn't there previously. What happened? I consumed myself with stories, videos, information about that particular reality that I was never hungry for. And because of that, I became hungry for that particular thing. In a like fashion, you may not be hungry for revival. You may not be hungry for revival until you go online, begin to read about revivals, get a book, read revival, and stay there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You will be shocked at what will happen to you. You will find yourself in a place where you are saying, we want revival in our land. We want revival in our land. The thing you were not burning for, you find yourself burning for. Why? You accustomed yourself to information about that particular reality. You must be cautious of your environment. Make sure you have planned your environment very well. Make sure your environment is nurtured very well. Make sure that you are intentional about getting the right information in your environment, because hunger is precious. Hunger is a gift that you must sustain. So ensure that your environment is saturated. Every day, try and watch at least one or two videos on revival. Watch a clip here and there. Read a chapter in a book. Every day, I must do that. You know why I protect my environment so much? Because there are people that are dependent on me being inspired. There are people that are... Do you know that for me to always be inspired about fasting, every week, I read a book on fasting. Every week I must read a book. Why do you think we are always fasting? The moment the hunger for fasting goes away, I read Franklin Ho, and he's saying there is a group of people that gathered and did a 73 days fast on water alone, and revival broke out in their nation. I said, I've added another fast. Before, I'm always, you can never sustain a hunger for fasting if you're not reading on material that is dealing with fasting. That is why this week you are burning for fasting. You want to fast. The other month you're not burning for fasting. The material around you. So to sustain that area, you must ensure intentionally you go on YouTube fasting. You get those. And for me, when I read on fasting, I love to read radical people. I don't love to read those that are talking about, you know, fasting from social media, fasting from your phone. All those are nonsense stories. I don't like listening to them. That is not the fasting I want. I don't want that. Yeah, I like what Bupe has said, environmental maintenance. And you must maintain your environment because many people depend on your inspiration. Your sister may be depending on your inspiration. And imagine if your sister now comes that day, she wants you to fast with her. She says, my sister, let's fast for 2 days. If you have not been maintaining your environment, you will say, you know, we need to be wise. This. Have you ever been in that place where someone you have been discipling says, sir, let's go and pray for 10 hours. Then you say, no. We need to be wise. It's because you have not been maintaining your environment. So your hunger has crippled. Me, I used to have the people I disciple say, pastor, let's fast for just 21 days. Elon have been talking about 21 days in the week I was burning for fasting. That week, I didn't maintain my environment. And then they now say, let's do this type of fast. All of a sudden, they say, no, you know, you need wisdom. It's not always. Okay, wisdom, you must be wise. So like I was saying, when I read material on prayer and fasting, when I read, I love to read the ancients, the people that talked about these things in an ancient way. I don't love to read people that talked about it. Yeah, quite no, fasting from social media, fasting from Shani, fasting from Shani, all those fastings that are not okay. Someone just says, you know, I'm fasting from crisps. But in a malaria. No. What type of fasting is fasting from crisps? No. It's no. But then you are full the whole day, watch your breakfast. No. There's no. That's not. I read fasting from ancients. The ancient men, when they're talking about fasting, you know, you read men like Lou Engle, even the way they talk about fasting, they're just talking about fasting. When you listen to Lou Engle, he's even pacing back and forth. All they're talking about, so I was doing this 21 days fast, and, you know, God told me that he'd fill up a stadium with young people praying. And you're just listening to people like that. Then you read Franklin Ho. He's now sharing stories of people 17 days. And they have got so awkward days. 21 days, 73 days. We have not even done 73 days yet. Just listening. When you manage your environment, you will be hungry for it. So you must manage your environment. I know I've taken time. But find people, okay? Find people. Find information. Protect your environment. Sometimes you don't want to listen to them, but listen to them. I've told you, do this social experiment just on your mind, not even on your spirit. Do the social experiment on your mind. Okay? After this lesson, go and search out for food you don't really care for and see people eating it. Maybe you just type prawns and you see people eating prawns. You're just seeing people eat prawns. I can assure you, you may find yourself buying prawns tomorrow if the hunger gets so real. So you must read stories of revival. There are many books out there. There's so much material out there. Don't just remain like that. Saturate yourself. I read a book on fasting every week. You know, I read a book on prayer every week. I read a book on revival, the move of God. Of course, I'm not reading like entire books, but at least I'm reading maybe a chapter, a page or two. You know, I'm reading, I'm just getting some information, okay? You will find yourself in a place where your hunger will be stirred. Some of your friends, give them a book, give them something. Let's carry everyone along. So I shared this to tell you the things that stir revival. And now that you know, okay, now that you know, what is your next assignment? Your next assignment is to implicate everyone. What is the assignment I'm giving you? Get everybody else hungry for revival, either through praying for them to have an encounter, either through praying
that God would stir a dissatisfaction in their heart so that they are tired, either through praying that they encounter material. You know, that's the style I have used to birth hunger. I asked the Lord, how can I birth hunger in the church? God told me, just start telling them about revival stories. So I was wondering, Lord, me, I'm hungry for revival, but the church is not hungry. How do I share the hunger? He said, no, there's no problem. The only way to share the hunger, just start talking about revival every week. Week in, week out, you are just talking about stories of revival. So I just started talking about revival in church. That's what I talk about. That's why you find KCCI people, prayers, they are ready. Fasting, they are ready. Questions, you know, someone was telling me that leadership rebelled a 3-day fast. Six to six fast. The pastor said, we are going to fast for 3 days, 6 to 6. Leadership rebelled. The leader said, if the pastor does not consider, we are going to leave. Okay, but you now see the people that have been hearing revival stories week in, week out. You say we are doing a 3-day fast. People start celebrating, saying, thank you, it's easy. At least 3, 6 to 6. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, why are they this hungry? Everyone else can get hungry, even that particular group of people I'm mentioning. Why are they this hungry? They are this hungry because they have been hearing revival stories back to back, 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 back to back. And when they hear revival stories back to back, I can assure you, after a while, hunger will begin to get stirred. There will be a hunger being stirred. There will be a hunger being stirred. There will be a hunger being stirred. I'll end with this particular statement. Randy Clark said something that I love. Randy Clark said something, and let me end here. This is the longest I think I've done midweek. Randy Clark said something, and I think I'll end here. He said that you can't force, and his father actually told him this. So Randy Clark said it, and his father told him, and I'm the one, I'm now saying it. So Randy Clark's father told Randy, and I heard it from Randy Clark, Dr. Randy Clark, and now I'm hearing it, and I'm telling it to you. Okay, so Dr. Randy Clark said that you can't force a horse to go to the river, okay? Listen, and listen carefully, don't laugh. You can't force a horse to go to the river. You can't force a horse to go to the river. However, if you give it enough salt a few hours before, it will most likely go to the river. Ooh, I love that. Let me say that again. You can't force a horse to go to the river, okay? However, when you give it enough salt a few hours before, there is high chances that that horse will go to the river. Why is it going to the river? It is thirsty because you gave it enough salt. That is what revival stories do. That is what they have done to you. Like Diana is saying, look at us now. Many of you did not want to pray until all you were hearing is revival. God broke out in Azusa. God broke out in Toronto. God broke out in the Welsh revival. There was this man that God used. He would operate like this. There's this person. You did not want to go to the river to drink, but the stories we fed you were like salt, and we are the salt of the earth. So when we share the stories of revival, people will become thirsty. They did not want to go, but eventually they will say, "Na mfwe chilaka, let me go and drink." So when we saturate, that's why we must saturate social medias with stories of marathons, stories of what God is doing, stories of what happens. Saturate your social media. Talk about it. Don't think that your testimony is nothing. You're not using your social media well. Saturate your social media. Talk. Do a video. Do this. Do a short story. Write something in the best way you feel you can do. Talk about these things. And when you do so, you will find that your friends have been watching. They are always watching what is happening. Before you know it, the salt intake will be too high that they will become thirsty. All of a sudden, they will say, when is the next marathon? I want to go with you. Why? The horse now wants to drink. I end here. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. We are grateful for what you are doing. in our time. We honor everything that is being stirred in our generation. We ask that you continually move over us in an unusual and unique way. Lord, we pray that each and every brother, each and every sister, we'll be carried along, and everybody will have a hunger for revival. Everyone will have a stirring. We don't want to leave our brothers behind. We are grateful that we are enjoying what you are doing. But through the keys that you have given us, encounter a dissatisfaction, reading revival stories, and all these things that have been shared. Lord, we are asking that you help us use these tools to stir our hunger as agents of revival, as agents of hunger. Everywhere we go, we'll stir our hunger for revival to our generation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So all of you, go out there.